Good morning, everyone. Lovely passage of scripture for us this morning from John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why hasn't this perfume been sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor amongst you, but you will not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. Well, now we have an interesting and beautiful passage this morning to unwrap. This is a real cameo about Mary from Bethany. She is mentioned just 3 times in the Gospels, but each part brings a total picture of her. Mary was sister with Martha, and Lazarus lived in Bethany. Now, this village is just over the hill from the Mount of Olives and below Bethphage. As you know, Jerusalem is built on 7 hills. That's why the psalmist is able to say, "I look up to the hills from whence cometh my help." And so here is Jerusalem. And then we go down and the Temple Mount. And then we go down into the Valley of Kidron, up through the Mount of Olives and to the top of the little mountain, and then over the top to Bethage, and below that is Bethany. It's obvious that Jesus was a frequent visitor to their house. Now, just as a point of interest, there are 5 Marys within the Gospels. There is, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And then there was Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, who was present at the tomb at the resurrection morning. Then, of course, there's Mary Magdalene, probably from Magdala, this small city on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee, about 3 miles north of Tiberias. It really means Magdala, the place of smoking. And the smoked fish from Lake Galilee was famous throughout the Roman and the Greek Empire. Pickled fish. I've never had a pick. We're not having pickled fish today, are we? This Mary was a close friend of Jesus, and he had cast out 7 demons from her. Mary, together with other women, followed Jesus on his walking tours and cared for his needs. When you look at a geography of where the Lord Jesus did his walking evangelistic tours, it's quite an amazing, around Galilee and through to Jerusalem and down the Jericho Valley and so on. And he had this band of women who cared for his needs and for the disciples. So also, Jesus was followed by a huge number of people. And crowds are often mentioned in the gospel stories, as well as those 12 travelling with him. It says that many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. So he had an entourage. Now, this Mary even cared for Jesus after his death. And then four, Mary is only mentioned once, and she was the mother of John Mark. And it was to this Mary's house that Peter went following his miraculous escape from prison. You remember that in Acts? And then we come to Mary number five, Mary from Bethany, who was devoutly looking, who we're devoutly looking at this morning. So here is this little group gathered for a meal together, their last meal before all the sad events surrounding Jesus' death in the next few days. Now, there is in Matthew's Gospel another account, and we're not quite sure about tying that in with this, where it says that Jesus' head was anointed with perfume as well. So I've got three headings this morning about Mary of Bethany. Mary the spontaneous. First of all, Mary had been listening to Jesus and what he had said about his impending death over the last few months. The rest of the disciples hadn't quite grasped what Jesus had been teaching about his purpose and his mission, his death and his resurrection. They were a bit thick sometimes, but Mary had been listening and grasped what it was all about. Mary knew and Mary understood, and Mary grasped the moment and spontaneously got the jar of very expensive perfume and washed Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, isn't that simply beautiful? A spontaneous outpouring of love and affection. Such devotion, such unselfishness, such sacrifice. Spontaneous. Time and time again, Jesus mentions his mission and death. It's mentioned 24 times in the Gospels. So it's important. And although the disciples were a bit thick and not understanding this teaching, Mary obviously took Jesus' words seriously. One example of a dozen, Mark 8. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Pretty planned, this prophecy. You know, minister, when he or she realizes that the words of prophecy, the words of warning, and the dire consequences of neglecting the Bible message are not taken seriously, even within the congregation, let alone the people of the parish. As the Apostle Paul states, "For the time will come when people will not put the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." On our last cruise with Fred Olson, I was both a chaplain and a speaker. It's a tough life, isn't it? And one of the other speakers came up to me when we were walking along one of the docksides, and Alison was with me, and he said, "John," he says, "you won't be asked back again to do another cruise because you're a bit strict on what the Bible says. I like to have this bit and I like to have that bit." I'm saying it right, aren't I, sweetheart? "Oh, I'm too evangelical," he said. "You'll not be asked again." So I'll wave to him as we fly off to the Caribbean at Christmas time. We cannot pick and choose from the Bible. It is an entity about the life, the death, and the resurrection and eternity of Jesus Christ. Yes, this Mary had been listening to Jesus about his impending death and realized what events were about to unravel. Mary believed what Jesus had been teaching, and we need to as well. We can't have the nice and gentle Jesus of the children's hymn from yesteryear. Lord Jesus, he was a man's man, a carpenter with splinters in his fingers. He was a skilled man, a cabinet maker. And not only that, he grew up soaked in the scriptures taught by the rabbis. And there is that instance of when he was a child and he was in the temple debating with the priests, and they were amazed at his learning and understanding then. We need to grasp the Bible in its entity and understand just how much the Lord Jesus has done for us day by day. Secondly, not only Mary was spontaneous in her outpouring and had been listening to Jesus, secondly, Jesus had saved her brother. Mary was so grateful to Jesus, and the pouring of perfume and the home being filled with the lovely aroma tells us just how much she was grateful to Jesus. Lazarus had fallen ill and had actually died, and there was some delay before Jesus reached their home and then performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from death. Now, this happens today. You probably didn't meet him, but we had the Reverend Canon Simon Stokes stay with us during the New Wine Conference a week or so ago. And he's blind, and he had his guide dog Hope with us. Dear Simon, he goes to India every year and up into the villages, and he sees a great healing ministry. He has seen dead people raised. He's seen sight restored to the blind. He's seen limbs grow. And I was talking about this with Archdeacon Beverly when she visited us. Was it last Monday? And I said, we were standing in the middle, and I said, Archdeacon Beverly, you know, in this church, we've seen miracles happen. We've seen wonderful answers to prayer. We've seen God at work in this place. And Archdeacon Beverly said, well, that's what we want to see, more signs and wonders. Isn't that lovely? We've got an archdeacon who wants that for us here. Yes, this Jesus had saved her brother. She was so grateful, and this was in her soul and her mind, and she wanted to do something to show the Lord Jesus just how grateful she was for this answer to her prayers. My blessed brother has been saved from death. Now, isn't it a spiritual truth that much of our own uncertainties about spiritual matters, our own feelings about having a rough ride in life, our own lack of assurance sometimes, is that we all too often forget just how much we ought to be grateful to our Lord Jesus. Something to be grateful for, John? Well, yes. I'm not ashamed to say that at the very first time I met with Alison at the New Wine Conference at Newark, she prayed for my arm that hadn't been able to raise above that in 42 years. She said, hasn't anybody prayed for you, John? You're a minister. I said, well, actually, no. Well, I'm going to pray now, she said. And all as I can tell you is look. Look. Mary was grateful to Jesus for saving her brother, and we ought to be grateful too. Years ago at our Church Army mission services in the villages, we would sing this song. And if you're 100 years old, you'll remember it. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. The antidote to feeling that all is lost is to count your blessings. And this Mary of Bethany so wanted to outpour her own love for her good friend Jesus that she was prepared to give up the most expensive present, the most expensive thing in her house, a year's wages of perfume. So, secondly that, and now thirdly, Mary simply loved Jesus as a brother. Mary simply loved Jesus as a brother. Now look, let's realize something very important, and it has a direct impact on our understanding about our ultimate salvation, our daily security and assurance. A lot of our own worry and fretting and insecurity day by day happens because we forget all too easily Jesus' teaching. So what has he taught? Here is something that I find completely mind-blowing. Our Lord Jesus counts us as brothers and sisters. Wow. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only ruler of princes, who the epistle says was formed, was there at the formation of the world. God himself. And he calls you and he calls me brothers and sisters. And so we have royal blood in our veins. Matthew 12. But he answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." Now, by asking and answering this question, Jesus demonstrates that spiritual ties are more important than human blood ties. We, if we are linked with Jesus, we have accepted him as our Lord and our Savior. We seek to serve him day by day and live out a Christian life in our thoughts, words, and deeds. Our security is with him, and we're destined not only to have our sins forgiven, but our destiny is in heaven. And in the book of Revelation says that we actually sit on the throne with Jesus, and we shall reign forever and ever with him. This is our security. This is our thrilling joy. This is our experience, and this is our destiny. Mary simply loved Jesus as a brother. There are so many Bible passages to hammer this home, this spiritual truth, that we sometimes neglect. What does the Apostle Paul write in Ephesians? "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that passes knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I'm not going to read it all, but if you want to realize how much God wants to be intimate with us. Psalm 139. And you know this upside down and inside out. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Mary loved Jesus as a brother. And God says that we are sons and daughters of his. Galatians 4. And when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. 1970 something or other, we went up to London to the Whittington Hospital in Holloway to collect our new baby daughter, who had arrived from Vietnam a few weeks before, had been seriously ill and wonderfully cared for. And we took her home down the M4 to Bristol, where I was a vicar man. And there she joined our family, this beautiful, beautiful Vietnamese baby daughter. Well, after Vashti Lan had been with us a few months, there was an appointment made with a judge in the Crown Court of Bristol. And we all dolled up, and the two boys were there in their tie and little suits, and we went into the judge's chambers. And there, very solemnly, there were all these big papers out on this huge desk, and he sat all imperious behind the desk. And there a very solemn little ceremony took place that Ngoc Lan from Vietnam became Vashti Lan Walden. She had been officially adopted into this family. And so, together with my boys, she was to inherit my gold and my silver, my Rolls Royce, my electric shaver, even some stamps, and all the other things attributed to being the daughter of the vicar man. From Ngoc Lan to Vashti Lan, she had a new family. And the Apostle Paul paints this beautiful picture of the death and resurrection and ascension of our Lord Jesus as a means of adopting us into this new eternal family. And the spiritual tie is greater than an earthly tie. So right at the end of this story, I ask a difficult question, something that you would not expect to be asked this morning. What is going to be inscribed on your tombstone? On my gravestone, I would like, here is Reverend John. He preached John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. Now, just remind my lovely Alison when the time comes, will you? Ruth, are you ready? Have you heard that, Ruth?
Yes.
Right, okay. Okay. Now, joking apart, what does our Lord Jesus wrap up this story of Mary's spontaneous outpouring of love for her friend Jesus? Jesus says this: wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What a beautiful story we've had to unwrap this morning of Jesus' last meal with his friends Martha and Mary and Lazarus and a few others. And there is a spontaneous outpouring of love for Jesus, her friend, who had saved her brother. And she was prepared to give her most precious thing in all her life in the house, this expensive perfume. And there she was to do something most unusual, to wipe his feet with her hair. The place of a servant kneeling down and anointing Jesus ready for his burial. How lovely. What a beautiful cameo picture of this sweet lady of Bethany. May it be that this morning and tomorrow morning and onwards, we are so enveloped with love for Jesus that we're ready to express our heartfelt desire to serve him, to love him more, to give until it hurts because of what he has done for us. Just as he saved Lazarus, so he will save us. Amen.